We started a few weeks ago in a series entitled The Story You Will Tell. Amen? And last week we looked at the story of salvation, and we looked at those steps that we experience as believers when we come to Christ and how those things become part of our story. Amen? And we talked about having those. I gave you a card. I think it was last week I gave you the card that has those steps of salvation and talking points. So as you share your faith with others, and even as you're in prayer over your own life, you can pray over those things. God is good, and he's the God of salvation. Salvation comes in no other name but the name of Jesus. And so as we go through this series, and as we're just singing this last song, Your Great Name, you know, sometimes we forget that the Bibles that we bring to church are alive. Amen? It's easy to put them on the bookshelf. It's easy to leave them in the back of the car. It's easy to leave them wherever they are, but we have to remember that they're alive. It's not just a collection of 66 books as we know it, right, that are bound together and filled with good moral teaching and good advice. It is that, but it's not just that. It is the Word of God. Amen? It speaks to our lives. It speaks to our heart. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, the Word of God is living. Amen? The Word that you hold in your hand this morning, the Word that you pray over on Monday morning, the Word that you read on Monday afternoon is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's important to know that and to believe that that Word of God that you fill your heart with is alive today. It's important to know that the God of the Bible, the God that we read about in Scripture, the God that we're singing about this morning is the same God that we worship today. Amen? It's important that we understand that his power, that Jesus' power that occurred 2,000 years ago on this earth is no greater than the power that he can exhibit today on this earth. His power was no greater then than it is at this moment right now and available to you in your life. And a lot of times, even as believers, we limit God and we put God in a box. And when we do that, we forget how powerful he is and how capable he is. We forget that at his name, every tongue will confess. We forget that at his name, the enemy has to flee. We forget that at his name, every fear will subside. We forget those things. And we sometimes look at God like he's some great athlete, you know, Brett Favre, right? Who peaked at the time in his career, and now that he's old, he just doesn't play like he used to. And we think that Jesus is past his prime and he can't do the things that he once did. But I don't want you to forget this morning what we read in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. Jesus' presence is consistent. Amen? And I have people that tell me, well, I don't feel God, and I think God is just kind of, he's on vacation, and he's checking out, and there's so much craziness going on in the world that just God doesn't want to be here with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always with us. His presence is consistent, and his power is consistent. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago on earth, he can do even today for each one of us. And that's true when it comes to salvation, as we talked about last week. He didn't just save when he walked the earth, he saves today. That's true when it comes to forgiving sin. He can forgive sin today like he did 2,000 years ago. It's true when he comes to restoring our lives to the way that God intended them to be. He can restore us back to his children, amen, and redeeming our lives, and even, yes, healing our bodies, healing our minds, healing our souls, and healing our hearts. That's who God is today. Get this today, that God's healing touch is not just something that we see in the past, not just something when he walked on earth, not just something that he did 2,000 years ago. Again, the Bible says Jesus is the same when? Yesterday. He's the same today, and he's the same forever. Which tells me, and it should tell you, that if the Jesus of the Bible could heal and restore and perform miracles in people's lives 2,000 years ago, then the Jesus that we worship today is that same Jesus. He can do the same things that he did then in your life today. Do you believe that? Amen? So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you. I know we put the scriptures on the screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you because you need to be opening that word and getting used to your Bible. But if you have them and you want to join us in John chapter 5, I want to show you a story of healing in the life of a man who was paralytic, and he was unable to walk for 38 years. And so we read in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. This tells me he didn't walk for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, Jesus said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, saying, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And the day was the Sabbath." I want to pray again, real quick. Amen. So God, we just thank you again for being here. We thank you, Lord. We know that there's people in this room and online today that are desperate for a miracle in their life. Not just desperate for a physical miracle, but an emotional miracle. Lord, a miracle that only you can perform. And we know that we need you. We know that we need to experience your healing touch. And so God, meet with us in this place this morning. Let us sense your presence in this moment. Not just think about who you were 2,000 years ago, but think about who you are today. Let us be reminded that the same God who worked a miracle in this story 2,000 years ago is the same God who mends and meets us at our point of need today. Help each one of us believe that to the bottom of our heart. Help us believe in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write these words at the top of your page. Jesus is the source of healing. Amen? Jesus is the source of healing. And we tend to forget that, don't we? Many of us, when we need to have healing in our life, or we have a great need in our life, we tend to find ourselves looking for at every direction to meet that need. We go here, we go there, we ask this person, we ask that person, except we don't look to Jesus. We use that as a last resort. Especially when we need healing, we should be looking to Jesus. We say, well, the aspirin can help my headache. We say that the doctor can help my, and I'll talk about doctors in a moment, can fix us. We say that this can help me feel better. And sometimes we're going to things that aren't godly, substances. I'm going to take a substance to numb some emotional pain in my heart and in my life, and that will make me better. None of those things make us better. Amen? We're not the first generation that has this mindset that I'm going to go to some other place besides Jesus for healing. The same was true in John chapter 5, 2,000 years ago. The sick, the lame, the paralyzed would wait by this pool of Bethesda, right at the heart of Jerusalem. People would bring them there, and they would lie them along by the water day after day after day after day because they believed that the pool could heal them. So every day, I can imagine, they'd get up, somebody carry me to the pool, lay me by the pool, and they'd sit there another day. And you first heard, we heard firsthand in verse 4 of chapter 5, where it says, "The angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water, then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." So imagine that scene. Right? We don't know how many people were laying there or sitting there, right? People with disabilities placed all around that pool. Imagine what it would look like when all of a sudden the water would start to stir, right? There would be people rolling into the pool. There would be jumping into the pool. People would be doing belly flops into the pool. They would want to get in the pool to be healed. Out of desperation, they would literally do anything that they could to be the first one in the water. And the man in this story, we hear this morning, he has been looking to be healed for 38 years. How many of you try the same thing over and over and over, day after day, for 38 years? Right? He's pretty serious about that. And we don't know how long he's been coming to the pool. It doesn't tell us. We don't know where he lived in proximity to the pool. Was it close? Was it far? We don't even know who was bringing him to the pool each day. But we do know that he was desperate for a miracle. Amen? And he thought the pool was the source of that miracle. That was his mindset. And so we read when Jesus comes and stands beside him, he still looks to the water thinking, the water is what will heal me. If I can just get somebody to put me in that water when it moves, I will be healed. And what he didn't realize was that he had the living water, right, who was capable of performing any miracle standing right next to him. And you may be thinking, well, according to verse 4, an angel came down and moved the water. And when someone jumped in, it was the water that healed them. Does that mean the water has the healing power? And I know, and you know this morning, that God uses all sorts of things. He uses all sorts of people. He uses all sorts of things in our world in stories of healing, right? He uses doctors to help heal us. If you break your leg is going to heal. It may not heal straight, right? It may heal crooked. So we go to a doctor. The doctor puts a cast on our leg, makes our bone straight, and as God does the healing, the bone heals correctly. God uses medicines to help us heal. He uses hospitals. He uses technology. And apparently, he even uses moving water in this story to heal people and make them better. But none of those things, the doctor, sorry, Dr. Steve, I know you're a doctor. The doctor, and I know he agrees with me, the medicine, the technology, none of those will be the source of healing, right? We use them, but God still is the one who heals. Amen? You can't go to the doctor without getting your bone taken out and a new bone put in and have that bone be completely whole without God healing it over time. Even taking the bone out, putting a new bone in, you've got joints that heal, muscles that heal, tendons that heal, and God is the source of all that healing. Only Christ can bring healing. Jesus this morning is the source of healing. He is, but he as the true source uses resources like that along the way. He may say, you need to get into this water to be healed. We saw the blind man. Put mud on your eyes, go wash your eyes in the pool this many times, and you'll see again. Jesus is still the source of healing, not the mud, right? Jesus is still the source of healing when you take an aspirin. Jesus is still the source of healing when you have a surgery. Your body still has to physically heal. In this story, the paralyzed man was looking for a resource like that. We may say, oh, I got a headache, I go to the doctor. My nose is runny, I need to take some allergy medicine, right? I break my leg, I need a cast on my leg. My back hurts, I need a heating pad, right? We find sources or resources for healing. So the paralyzed man is looking for a resource. He's thinking, if I get into the water, when it moves, I will be healed, but the source of healing is standing right next to him. At that moment, Jesus, the source of healing, came to him and met him at his greatest point of desperation. I love how Jesus shows up right when we need him the most. Amen? You know, I love Psalm 34:18. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as a contrite spirit. That's what we see in this story. Jesus shows up right at the right time. I'm sure this man is discouraged. 38 years. I don't know how long he's coming to the pool, but every day. I'm sure he's discouraged. And Jesus shows up right at on time. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're here or if you're online and your heart needs healing this morning, if you're here or if you're online and your body needs healing this morning, if you're here, if you're online and your soul needs healing this morning, if you feel crushed in spirit, or if you're tired of carrying whatever burden this world has put on you, this verse, Psalm 34:18, reminds us that we can draw close to God in seasons like that. Let's read that verse again. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. The good news about Jesus this morning is he doesn't say, get your heart right, then come to me, and I'll be close to you. He wants us to come to him in whatever mess we may be in. He's with you today. He knows if you're hurting. But even better than that, the Bible tells us he cares for us, and he knows how to heal us. Look with me at John 5, 6 again. When Jesus saw the man lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He knew there was 38 years of suffering. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And I always thought that was a pretty strange question at that moment. I mean, here's this guy. He's struggling for 38 years. He's looking to be healed. He's right there by the pool for 38 years. We don't know how long he's come to the pool. But Jesus walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" I don't know how many times I've asked people in life that are struggling, maybe with addiction, maybe with some emotional things or some physical things, and I'm like, "Do you want to be well?" And that seems like just a dumb question to ask. Of course he wants to get well. Who wants to be sick? Who wants to be dependent on substances? Who wants to be physically ill? So the obvious answer is absolutely he wants to get well. So Jesus tees him up perfectly for the right answer, to confess that he wanted to be healed. But what I find even more interesting, that instead of this man confessing, "Yes, I want to be well. Yes, I want to get well. No, I don't want to be like this anymore," he instead starts giving Jesus excuses for why he couldn't be healed. Think about that for a moment. He says, "I don't have anybody to put me in the pool." Jesus didn't ask him if he wanted to get in the pool. He says, "Do you want to be made well?" "Well, I can't be made well because there's nobody here to help me be made well." He said, "I'm too slow. Everyone moves faster than I do. Jesus, I can't be made well." And the only thing that he was thinking about, the only thing that he was obsessing about, were the obstacles that were preventing Jesus from working in his life. Jesus, if Jesus were to walk up to each one of us today and said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want this problem fixed in your life?" And our answer should be that, "Yes, absolutely, get to work, Jesus," instead of, "Well, I'd be made well if this could happen. I'd be made well if I could do this instead," right? Don't come up with excuses. So in his heart, there was fear. And in his heart, there was fear that he couldn't be made well. In his mind, there was no hope. He felt stuck. And I'm sure all of us at some point in our walk get to that point where we're walking with Jesus. There's things that are happening in life. We want to be made well. We want to be made well physically, emotionally, spiritually, but we're stuck because there's fear in our heart and there's no hope in our mind. You know, have you ever been in a place where you'd say something like, "In my mind, I don't see any hope. This problem has begun on way too long. In this man's life, it was 38 years. There is no hope in his eyes." In our heart, we feel afraid, and as a result, we feel stuck. That's kind of a pattern the enemy wants us to get into. We sang in his name this morning, fear has to leave, right? In his name this morning, the enemy has to flee. So in Jesus' name, we have to have hope in our mind, and we have to have a lack of no fear in our heart so we don't feel stuck. And I want you to get this today. Our faith will get paralyzed when we're afraid. Fear will paralyze your faith. And I believe that's true with this man this morning. He's laying there, and the fear of, "I may not get to the water." Here's a man saying, "Do you want to get well?" "Well, of course I do, but here's why I can't get well. Nobody to take me to the water." So I believe that was true in his life. His faith was paralyzed because he was afraid that that healing would never happen. 38 years of the same thing over and over and over. What's different today? Think about it. If he had placed his faith in that pool for so long, he watched people every day go into the pool and get healed, but he didn't get healed. Every day it didn't happen. That takes another step towards fearing that it would ever happen. And so maybe you're here this morning or you're online this morning, and even as I'm speaking to you right now, you know that you need some kind of healing in your life. But for whatever reason, when Jesus extends his hand to you, like this man, and offers you healing, the only thing that you can do is make an excuse for that miracle not to happen. The only thing you can do is say, "Well, it's been this way for so long. If Jesus wanted to heal me, he would have healed me 37 years ago, right? And I wouldn't have had to be this way." So let me ask you this morning, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? How would you answer that question? And perhaps right now, you could say that you have a deep wound in your heart, a deep wound in your life that needs to be healed, or a relationship, or a family, or a disease, or a disorder that needs to be healed. Let me ask you, do you want to be made well? That was the question that Jesus asked that day, And after hearing so many excuses, he then replies in John chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus does what only Jesus can do. He says, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. I don't want you to miss this today. Jesus is a source of healing. Amen? He is all-powerful and fully capable of fixing any problem that you have. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even when we lose our earthly hope and our fleshly hope and feel like your miracle may be a million miles away, we need to remember what Jesus says in Mark 10:27. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen? So today I want to show you five types of healing that God brings into our lives. And we've already been talking about the first one, which is physical healing. So perhaps maybe you're here, maybe you're online this morning, and you're like this paralytic in this story, and your greatest need today is physical healing. I believe with all my heart today that God still chooses to heal people today. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. You know, if I go back in my life, according to doctors years ago, 20 years ago, I was given 4 to 5 years to live. I shouldn't be standing here, according to doctors today. The doctors didn't give me much chance at all, but that was 20 years ago, right? They quit telling me how long I should live, because they're wrong. I had surgeries. I was in kidney failure, on dialysis. I spent more time in the hospital than I did out of the hospital. But God healed me when doctors didn't think it was possible. Amen? And God is still using me today. In my life, I've seen tumors disappear. People who have tumors, people who have cancer, and it disappears with no medical explanation. I've known people or heard of people with all the COVID stuff that was going on a ventilator with COVID. Doctors saying they're done. There's no hope for them. And they bounce back, and they're alive, and they're doing well today. I've seen people on their deathbed wake up, walk out of the room. Miracles still happen today. Amen? And God is still capable of healing us physically today. Every time I think through my life and I think about the people that he's healed, I also think about those he chose not to heal. And bear with me as I explain this. For every story that I can tell you about a miraculous healing, either in my life or somebody else's life, I can tell you a story about an unwanted going home where God says, okay, it's time for this person to come and live with me. And I think it's normal for us as humans to wonder why. Why did he heal Ted and why didn't he heal Joan? Why did he heal Joan and why didn't he heal Ted? We ask that. Why did God take them? Why didn't God heal them? God's will and God's perfect plan is probably the most difficult thing that we'll ever attempt to wrap our minds around. God, we got you all figured out. No, we don't. Amen? The truth is sometimes God's perfect plan is to allow us to suffer. I know we don't like that. And to experience difficulties and illnesses and hardships. And that doesn't make sense to us, but it's true. Even in the Bible, Jesus healed many people that he encountered. But he didn't heal everybody he encountered. And in the day, there were lepers. There were people who were paralyzed, deaf, blind, and bleeding. There were people that he would encounter that lived with hardships and disabilities. Many sick people died in the Bible. And guess what? They stayed dead, right? Even while Jesus was here in the flesh. So Jesus does heal everybody with a Jesus doesn't heal everybody with a physical need, does he? But he is capable, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. He absolutely is. So why wouldn't we ask God for healing today? Why wouldn't we ask Jesus for healing? If we know that he can heal, and he's standing next to us saying, "Do you want to be made well?" And we truly think he's capable of healing, then why wouldn't we ask that and why wouldn't we believe that? And that's what Jesus was saying in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. He says, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. And I don't want you to miss what he's saying here. Let's read verse 24 again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you need to remember that this was written in Greek and it was translated to English. And the way this is translated to English makes us sometimes think and make it sound like Jesus is a celestial genie in a bottle. Everything I ask for, he will give me, right? We miss the part that we need to be asking for everything according to his will. Amen? And everything we pray for, he will do, but that's not what he's saying here. He's simply reminding us that our God can do the impossible. Yes, he can move this mountain over here. He can take this tumor, remove it from your body. He can take an addiction that's in your life and give you no more temptation to use ever again. He can do the impossible. We should believe, and we should be people who believe in him for the impossible. So first, we have that physical healing. Secondly, we have emotional healing. In the same way that God can heal us physically, he can heal us emotionally. Do you know what it feels like? And I know this is a question that all of us probably know the answer to. Do you know what it feels like to be broken emotionally? We've all been there in life. Our emotions are down. To have a heaviness in your heart or feel incomplete because of some damage that's been done. You know, Paul talks about this feeling in Romans chapter 9, verse 2. He says, I have great sorrow and continually grieve in my heart. That's not a physical problem, that's an emotional problem Paul is dealing with. Have you ever felt like that in life? If you're human, you probably have. Most people are pretty good at pretending that everything is well, especially when we come to church. I'm all good today, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, look at me smile, but my heart is broken. For many of us, we have to stop pretending, man, God, I need you to fix some problems in my heart. God, I need you. I need to put this at the foot of the cross, whatever it is, and let you heal that. So if you've been healed or wounded emotionally, we need to be healed. So God can heal us physically. He can heal us emotionally. Number three, he can heal our relationships. God designed relationships in our life to be one of our greatest sources of fulfillment and joy. And most of us would agree with that, unless you're struggling in your relationships. But the most important, if we look at life, the most important and fulfilling things in our life are relationships. Relationships with our spouse, relationships with our kids, relationships with our parents or our siblings or friends, people in our church family, fellow believers around the world, that we can encourage one another. God designed relationships to be one of the greatest sources of fulfillment and joy in this world. But what many of us have learned over time is that when a relationship ruptures, when there's some animosity in a relationship, they can also be one of our greatest sources of pain and sadness, can't they? And let's be honest today, if you're hurting because of a broken relationship, have you forgiven that person? Doesn't matter if you're wrong or they're wrong, do you have a heart of forgiveness? Are you trusting God to heal and mend that broken relationship? We can't overlook the fact that even through Jesus' life on earth, relationships were very important. And reconciling broken relationships is a ministry that God calls all of us to do. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation." He doesn't want us to be at odds with our family. He doesn't want us to be at odds with other believers. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus calls us peacemakers. We're to make peace with one another. But so many times we don't even know where to begin when it comes to finding peace. You know, as I was praying over this message this week, I was, you know, thinking about the things that prevent emotional and relational healing in our life. And I want to share some of those with you. Probably the main thing that causes that emotional pain and that relational pain that we can't be healed of is because we're withholding forgiveness and we're harboring hurt and we're harboring anger in our heart. I can point to hundreds of scriptures, I'm not going to take the time to do that this morning, that talk about the destructive dangers and the destructive nature of holding on to anger, right? We see scripture after scripture after scripture talking about anger, and also the destruction that comes with while we're withholding forgiveness. I'll get there. You know, Psalm 37:8 says, cease from anger. He doesn't say, well, if the anger is justified, you can still be angry. Exactly. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not hasten, do not rush in your spirit to be angry, for angry rests in the bosom, it rests in the heart of fools. The Lord tells us that relational healing is impossible unless we're willing to do what he tells us to do, to forgive. And what are we supposed to do? Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Get rid of it with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. For while you were yet sinners, he gave his life for us. He forgave us of our sins while we were in a mess. So first, we have to not harbor hurt. We have to not harbor anger and withhold forgiveness. Next, we can't give the devil a foothold or allow spiritual strongholds in our life. When you give the devil a foothold in your life, in your relationships, it's not going to end well. I want to look at Ephesians 4 again, chapter 4, 26 and 27. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The New Living Translation says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And I love that word foothold. It's such a very picturesque word. And it gives us a picture of someone who's climbing a hill, who's rock climbing. You put your foot in a foothold, right? And it gives you a step up on a rock wall. Climbers, if you've climbed anything, you know what a foothold is. It's not just a place to put your foot, but it's a place to put your foot to help lodge you securely and to help you ascend the side of the wall. Where there is a foothold, you can then be elevated to a higher place. Every time you put your foot in a foothold, it's to allow you to lift up to go to the next level. Does that make sense? It allows you to go higher than you were before. And so when the devil has a foothold in our life, what the devil desires in your relationships, Paul tells us not to give him that foothold. Don't give him the opportunity to step in and elevate himself up higher in your life. Don't allow him to step in and gain ground in your life. That's what a foothold does. It's not just a place for your foot. It's to allow you to put it in, push up, elevate yourself. And so when the devil has a foothold in your life, a foothold in your relationship, you're allowing him to use that situation to step in, to magnify himself and lift himself up. Does that make sense? So we can't give the devil a foothold in our life. We can't believe lies. If the devil is talking, the devil is lying. If you're hearing the devil, it's a lie, right? He may twist the truth and give you some truth. No, Eve, if you eat that apple, surely you won't die, right? There's always a lie that comes along with it. And so for many of us with broken relationships, that's our problem. We've been listening to the devil's plan when it comes to the place of blame and unforgiveness. Well, Dr. Steve, you know, he looked at me crooked, and the enemy says he shouldn't have looked at you like that. You need to be angry, right? He will always twist things in our life, and it always leads to separation, and it always leads to division, and it always leads to destruction. That's why you need to be in the Word of God. You need to have your Bible open, the living Word of God, like we started with today. Know God's plan for your life. Know God's plan to deal with relationship problems and emotional problems. Because God comes from a place of grace, and he comes from a place of forgiveness, which then leads to restoration and reconciliation. So God will heal us physically. He will heal us emotionally, and he will heal us relationally. He gives us personal healing. One of the major themes of healing that we've seen so far in Scripture is forgiveness. A lot happens when you have a heart of forgiveness. A lot can be done with a heart of forgiveness. Whether you're talking about emotional healing, whether you're talking about relational healing, the same is true when you talk about personal healing, healing in your life. We need to have a heart of forgiveness. And for some of us here today, some of us online, our greatest wounds in life have been self-inflicted wounds. I'm mad at myself. I hate myself. I messed up. I'm no good for nothing. Some of the hardest things for us to do after we've done something wrong is say, I forgive me, right? It's easy for me to forgive Ted. It's not very easy for me to forgive ourselves. And we tend to be the hardest critic, even after God has forgiven us. Even after we've repented, we've talked about repentance in the last couple weeks. Even after we've turned from whatever behavior, whatever it is, and I replace that with Jesus, we know we're forgiven in the head, but we don't forgive ourselves in the heart. And I want you to hear this today, that forgiveness is what makes you free. There's freedom in forgiveness. And it's true when we forgive others. It's true when God forgives us. And it's also true when we forgive ourselves. There's freedom in forgiveness. Amen? So physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing, personal healing, and finally spiritual healing. The most important thing, healing that we ever will experience is healing of our spirit, healing of our soul. And I say that for three reasons. First of all, spiritual healing is the only healing that will last forever. I may get a headache today, and God may heal that headache, but I may get a headache tomorrow, right? Spiritual healing lasts forever. Once you are saved, once your soul is redeemed, you are saved forever. Amen? Which means that our sinful souls have been healed and restored, and they're healed forever. And we all know John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have temporary life." Everlasting life, right? Forever life. That word everlasting means forever. When he redeems us, we're redeemed forever. It means without end. There is no end to that life. Spiritual healing is always God's will in our life. He always wants us to be healed spiritually. I can't stand here today and guarantee a physical healing, but I can say without a shadow of a doubt that God is willing to heal you spiritually. Amen? We read in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." He comes to save us. He comes to redeem our soul. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should have come to repentance." God is patient with us, isn't he? He doesn't want us to perish. I don't know how many of you, when you've heard the gospel, you're like, "Oh, that's not for me." And you walk away and continue to live your life. And God is patient. And he comes with someone else to share good news with you. And you're like, "Nope, not for me." And he's patient. And he comes with someone else. And he says, "It's time for you to hear this." And finally, you receive that. I want to give you one more passage. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." Spiritual healing lasts forever. Amen? We make a mess of our souls. We make a mess of our lives. We make a mess of our emotions. We do things to our body because we're not being healthy or whatever it may be. But when God fixes us spiritually, it lasts forever. Amen? Spiritual healing is God's will for your life. And spiritual healing is only available through Jesus. You know, sitting on your mat at home oming isn't going to heal you spiritually, right? Drinking some green tea and talking to the stars isn't going to heal you spiritually. Jesus is the source of healing. He went to the cross. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. He went to the cross so that we could be healed. We read in 1 Peter 2:24, "Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So what kind of healing are you looking for today? You may be here and you're looking for physical healing. You may be looking for emotional healing. You may be looking for relational healing, personal healing. You got to tell yourself, "God has forgiven me. My neighbor has forgiven me. I need to forgive myself," or spiritual healing. I'll ask the question again. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? And just like God answers prayer, he answers healing in one of three ways. You say, "God, I need to be healed," or, "God, I need this in my life." He can answer it immediately and say, "Here it is, granted." Right? We've all experienced things like that. He may give you a delayed answer. You pray and there's a process or a path that leads to healing eventually. But then third, he may give you ultimate healing. We don't like this, but there's a place called heaven, right? A place of ultimate fulfillment. And the Bible says it's a place of no more. No more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more disease, no more death. The ultimate healing is to go home to be with Jesus, isn't it? Because if he just made us all well here on earth all the time, we'd all be bored. I don't know. And we'd have a lot of people around. The ultimate healing is to be home with Jesus. Even if a person is physically healed on earth, the man who was healed in this story, Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. He eventually died, didn't he? The good thing is that God has made that ultimate healing available to us all. That when we're saved, one day we'll stand before him, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live and die with sin stains on our soul. We don't have to live and die with grief in our heart. We don't have to live and die with physical pain in our bodies. We don't have to live and die with emotional pain or spiritual unrest in our hearts, because Jesus came to wash us clean. He came to heal us once and for all. Amen? I'm going to have you stand as I close. So this morning, again, do you want to be made well? When the source of healing, and I'm not the source of healing, Jesus is the source of healing. When the source of healing, like in this story, asks you, do you want to be made well? What do you say? Do you respond in pride? Do you respond, I sure do, but, you know, if Doug would not keep pushing me away, I could be healed. It's all Doug's fault, right? Come up with an excuse. We can't act like we don't need Jesus. Amen? I am so thankful that I can get up in the morning and the first thing I can say to the Lord is, I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. I need your provision more today than I needed it yesterday. I need your healing power in my life today more than I did yesterday. And every day I get up and it's one of the first things I say to God, I need you more today than I did yesterday. Because the trap we fall into is, okay, yep, I've been saved. Yep, life is going along well. Yep, I'm doing okay, God. I don't need you today. Just go and do your thing. There's other people that need you more. And we start to fall away and we start to drift from depending on him. I'm so thankful that he's always there. He's always available. He's standing right next to you this morning like he was this man, saying, do you want to be made well? And it may be a physical need. It may be an emotional need. It may be a scar that's in your heart that you've been holding on to for so long. He wants you to give that up this morning to him. So as I close and as I pray, feel free either in your chair to give that to Jesus. Come forward. We'll pray with you if you want prayer this morning. If you're online, send us a message. We'll pray with you. God is the healer. Amen. He has healing power available to all of us, and not just here this morning, but as you leave here, that healing power is available. As you open the word at home tonight, that healing power is available. As you go to bed tonight, that healing power is available. Amen? Trust him. Depend on him. He's standing next to you saying, do you want to be made well? So Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that at the name of Jesus, healing occurs. And Lord, I thank you that you, by your stripes, we are healed. And Jesus, I thank you that you came to earth to live that example for each one of us. Lord, you gave your life and you paid the penalty for my sin and death that I deserve because of that sin. Lord, and through that, by your stripes, I have been healed. And God, I thank you that you give each one of us that power of healing today. You stand beside each one of us. And as part of our story, you tell us that we can be healed. And as part of our story, Lord, we can look back and we can even see experiences in our own life where healing has occurred. And Lord, you want to make that part of our story today. That you will heal our physical problems, that you can heal our emotional and our spiritual problems. God, I thank you that first and foremost, even as we look through Scripture, when Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and walk, or he talks to the woman, he says, your sins have been forgiven. Lord, that spiritual healing is what we need even more than physical healing. And I thank you that when we're healed spiritually, it can lead to all the healing that comes physically, emotionally, Lord, and even personally. And so, God, we thank you for your healing power this morning. I thank you that you are willing to touch each one that's here today, each one that's online in a way that only you can do it. Lord, yes, we can go to the doctor, and yes, we can take the medicine, and yes, we can do what someone may tell us to do, Lord, but all healing You are the source of healing, and I thank you that all healing comes from you. Lord, so when I need healing in my body, when I need rest in my body, when I need healing in my soul, I can bow before you and I can say, Jesus, you are that source. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I thank you that even as you touched that man that day and said, take up your bed and walk, you can touch each person that's here, each person that's online in a way that only you can do it. So Lord, we give you our physical pain. We give you our physical challenges. We give you our emotional pain, emotional challenges. We give you the spiritual hurt that's in our lives, Lord, and we say, heal us like only Jesus can. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.